Track 3, Ethical Use of Repressed Memories. On this track, we will discuss difficulties in determining whether or not a client has fabricated a memory, as well as the client abandonment ethical dilemma. We will examine various sides of the argument regarding ethical uses of repressed memories. Repression is defined as a defense mechanism derived from psychodynamic theory in which an individual unconsciously pushes out of the consciousness certain memories, ideas, or desires that are unacceptable or causes a level of anxiety. Once these ideas or desires are contained in the unconscious, they cannot be recalled directly. However, they may emerge in one's behavior in disguised forms, and their effects are sometimes seen as slips of the tongue or dreams. Because repression is, by definition, a mechanism of the unconscious, it should not be confused with the conscious reaction of suppression. Ask yourself this ethical question: is your sexually abused client repressing or suppressing? It is common to consciously suppress unpleasant experiences. Many psychologists believe that unconscious repression of traumatic experiences such as sexual abuse or rape is a defense mechanism which backfires. The unpleasant experience is forgotten but not forgiven. It lurks beneath consciousness and allegedly causes a myriad of psychological and physical problems, from bulimia to insomnia to suicide, as you are well aware. However, the theory of unconsciously repressing the memory of traumatic experiences is controversial. Here's an ethical dilemma. There is little scientific evidence to support either the notion that traumatic experiences are typically unconsciously repressed or that unconscious memories of traumatic events are significant causal factors in physical or mental illness. Most people do not forget traumatic experiences unless they are rendered unconscious at the time of the experience. No one has identified a single case where a specific traumatic experience in childhood was repressed and the repressed memory of the event, rather than the event itself, caused a specific psychiatric or physical disorder in adulthood. To make the ethics issue even murkier, the strength of the scientific evidence for repression depends on exactly how the term is defined. When defined narrowly as intentional suppression of an experience, there is little reason to doubt that repression exists. But when we talk about a repression mechanism that operates unconsciously and defensively to block out traumatic experiences, the ethical picture becomes considerably murkier. Evidence concerning memory of real-life traumas in childhood and adults indicate that these events, such as a kidnapping, the sniper killing at an elementary school, or the collapse of a skywalk, are generally well-remembered. Complete amnesia for these terrifying episodes is virtually non-existent. Psychologist Lenora Terre, a defender of repressed memory therapy, argues that repression occurs for repeated or multiple traumas, such as a repeatedly sexually abused child. However, Shaster refutes repressed memory and notes that hundreds of studies have shown that repetition of information leads to improved memory, not loss of memory, for that reason. Shaster also notes that people who have experienced repeated trauma in war, even children, generally remember their experiences. A person who suffers a great trauma often finds that he or she cannot get the event out of their head or out of their dreams. To the contrary, Terre's theory is that children become practiced at repression to banish the awful event from awfulness, and forgetting might aid in the child's survival. Terre's dissociative theory, however, is based on speculation rather than scientific evidence. Thus, if your therapy is based on a hunt for, so to speak, repressed memories, you might keep in the back of your mind that ethically, repression is a controversial clinical area because of the lack of scientific evidence. Most therapists accept as fact that it is quite common to consciously repress unpleasant experiences, even sexual abuse, and to spontaneously remember such events long afterwards. However, most of the ethical controversy centers around recovered memories during repressed memory therapy, or RMT. Critics of RMT, or repressed memory therapy, maintain that many therapists are not helping patients recover repressed memories, but are suggesting and planting false memories of, for example, alien abduction, sexual abuse, and satanic rituals. If you are thinking of conducting a formal or informal study regarding clients' repressed memories, you might keep in mind the ethical standard of practice, which states therapists must provide explanations to clients prior to assessing about the nature and purpose of assessment and the specific uses of the results. On this track, we have discussed the difference between unconscious repression and conscious suppression. In addition, we have discussed the controversy regarding the ethical use of unconscious repressed memories and the role the therapist might play in actually creating those memories by suggesting and planting false memories of, in this case, sexual abuse. On the next track, we will examine the persuasive impact of group therapy on a person considering sexual abuse. Question 3. What is the ethical dilemma in utilizing repressed memories as the basis of your sexual abuse therapy?